Hello again, my brothers and sisters, and welcome to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman, and I'm glad to be with you today and privileged and honored to be able to be around God's Word and study it with you. Today we're going to go back into some separation, and today we're going to start out on the topic of some areas of personal separation. Personal separation. Now, on our last recording, we went over separation from the world, and we talked about quite a bit of things there: the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, all the bad stuff having to do with the world, and the reason that for separation, at least half of the reason. We're supposed to be separated unto the Lord and away from ungodliness. Remember, and we're talking about the part on the side of the coin of ungodliness, separation from the world. Remember what the Bible said? It said, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world." Now, the Lord talking there, and He made a separation in His words right there to begin with. He said that the lust of the flesh, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, He made a separation. He said, it's not of the Father. He said, but it's of the world. So, the Lord gave us information there concerning two different things, heaven and heavenly things, godly things, and godly, and then also ungodly and the world. Now, the Lord said that in John chapter 17, in that prayer, in the real Lord's Prayer, you ought to read that sometime. The Lord prayed for you right there in John 17. That's the real Lord's Prayer, not Psalm 23. So the Lord made a difference right there. He made a separation right there. And this is what we've been talking about the last couple days. Now, when we got to the end, or last couple days, last couple recordings. And when we stopped, the last thing that we talked about was in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. And what it was, we talked about what the Lord was talking about when we mean the world. What does the Bible mean when it's talking about the world? Well, Galatians 5 is one of about three or four different places in the Scripture where it mentions what the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is that has to do with the need to be separated from the world. We talked about uncleanness and, you know, all the ugliness of the flesh and the ugliness of sin, and what sin causes and what sin provokes and what sin brings about: adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ain't got a thing to do with going to heaven. Now, if you're not born again, you're going to go to hell in spite of whatever you are lusting after. Whether you're an adulterer or heresies or drunkenness or whatever it is that's sin in your life, if you're not born again, you're going to hell anyway. But being born again has nothing to do with this right here. He didn't say the kingdom of heaven. He said the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a place until Jesus gets down here on the earth physically for the 1,000-year millennium. The kingdom of God in this dispensation right now is spiritual. The Lord said the kingdom of God is within you. God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you and teaching you about spiritual things and godly things like we're doing right now. He said those that do these things cannot, or shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, the Lord said, if you're going to be doing these things and you're going to be involved in all this ungodliness and not be separated from it, and you're going to be doing all this mess, not only am I going to share with you the things of God out of the scriptures, but these things by themselves are going to keep you separated from God. If you're an adulterer, an active adulterer, and busy in adultery, you're not going to learn anything spiritual from the Lord. You're not going to get it from Him. You're going to get a whooping from Him if you're a child of God. But you're definitely not going to be walking in the Spirit. You'd be walking in the flesh. Do you see what I'm saying? So, which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this one, the reason I went back over this was because I was reading over it just before I was going to start this recording. And I noticed that when I was reading through those in Galatians chapter 5 there, the works of the flesh, remember the one that I said I didn't know what it was, variance? I said, now, that is variance. Now, I don't know what that one is. I looked it up. And, you know, out of all of them right there that to look up and variance, I looked it up, and it's talking about variation. It's talking about changing. And out of all the ones that I could have not known what it was, we're talking about separation and variance. I didn't know the definition of. That's ignorant, ain't it? It's an activity that varies from a normal or a standard. You leave the normal. You leave the standard. Variation. Variety. The repetition of, it says something a little different from others of the same type. It's talking about, let's see here, the process of varying or being varied. In other words, I think what it's trying to say is you vary away from, just like we're talking about separation, what God has set standards and the doctrine in the Bible and the truths. The Bible says whatsoever is true and whatsoever is honest and whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And when you get involved in these works of the flesh and start walking in the flesh rather than being separated, when you start fooling around with the world, these works of the flesh are going to... the closer you get to the mud hole, the more apt you're going to get some on you. You see. So it's talking about not changing, being varying from what is the standard or the normal as far as Christians go. I think that's what it is. If it's any different, correct me and give me the truth about that thing. I want to know. But from what I see about the definition of it, it's talking about changing. And that's what we're talking about, is separation from the world. Don't not letting the world change you. Because if you get out there fooling around with the world, it's going to change you one way or another. It's going to take away your godliness. It's going to stop you from walking in the Spirit. And you're going to the flesh is going to start getting the advantage. Now, when we're talking about the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. What are we talking about? Well, we went over these things, and let's get just a little bit more specific about it. Now, we're going to name some things today, and whatever you do is between you and the Lord. But let's don't deceive ourselves and lie to one another. The Bible tells us not to lie to one another. And it tells us not to be deceivers and not to be, said for us to get along and for us to tell one another the truth. I don't want to know what you're doing if you're doing something wrong. I don't want to know. And you shouldn't want to know anybody else's business. The Bible says study to be quiet and to do your own business. And to work with your own hands. as we have commanded you. But that's what preachers are for, and that's what teachers are for, is to say these things, and God the Holy Ghost says them, and you, he speaks to your heart about it, and you deal with the Lord about it. So some areas of personal separation, areas of it. We've talked about separation from the world, but what kind of areas are we talking about? All right, well, the first thing we want to talk about today is some areas of personal separation. The first thing is the things I allow my eyes to see. The things that I allow my eyes to see. You say, what? Things I allow my eyes to see. Yeah. In Psalm chapter 101 and verse 3, the Bible says, and we talked about that last recording, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Now, of course, that's, I think that's Brother David. And he said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That's not being tempted. That's not somebody else setting that stuff before your eyes. That's you setting it before your eyes. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. You see, this man made a decision. He made a decision of what he was going to be separated from. That whole verse right there is a verse of separation. And he also said, not only do I hate the work of them that turn aside, it shall not cleave to me, but I'm not going to set no wicked thing in front of my eyes. And if you told the truth, your eyes do have to do with your heart. The Bible says it does. So in that verse right there, the Bible says, I will set what before mine eyes? No wicked thing. Let me ask you something. Is there anything in your life that your eyes are looking at, or that your eyes, sometimes the things that cross your vision are the things that you allow, not the things that's not your fault that the devil throws in front of you and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about, is there anything that you have control of that you're setting in front of your eyes that your eyes should not be seeing? Well, the scriptures say, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Some areas of personal separation is stop letting things that are not supposed to go into your eyes and into your mind and into your spirit, and into your mind, and get in there, because whatever goes in is never going to come out. Your mind is a miraculous, wonderful thing that God has put together. I mean, they ain't never going to build no computer like the human mind. And that's just what God put together. Your mind is something, because it keeps record of everything. Now, if it just goes in there once, it's still in there, but it's so weak that it don't come back up in your memory unless you go and find it and bring it back up. But if you keep letting it go in them eyes and keep looking at it and looking at it and looking at it and looking at it and looking at it, it's going to become pretty, it's going to be out on the front page of your memory, and you're going to start thinking about that. Or you're going to be thinking about it. And if it's wicked, it's going to draw you into sin and separate you from the Lord. And your flesh is going to get the advantage of it. And you're going to start walking in the flesh. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. In Job chapter 31, listen to this in verse 1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? He's talking about looking at a woman the wrong way. If my step hath turned out of the way, and my heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to my hands, and then he goes on. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I'm going to control my eyeballs with all the control that I have. Sometimes you can't help it. They throw things in front of you. The devil's always throwing things in front of you, especially that TV. That's why it's called programming. All that stuff don't come up on that television by accident. It's programmed. They put it on there to make you think things on purpose. And how did they get it in your mind? Through your eyeballs. You know why you can sit at home, why men can sit at home and undress women that don't even live in his house? By looking at that TV over and over and over and over and over. They don't mind walking a woman across there in her underwear. And what do you reckon if that goes into a man's eyes, it's going to cause his brain to do? You think it's going to become more godly and separate unto God a little more? No. And you women, too. Y'all look into men walking around in underwear on their television. What's that make you think? Make you think about praying? No, it don't. And it goes in through them eyeballs. And goes into your mind. You say, oh, that, yes, it does. The Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Job said that. He said, why then should I look upon a maid? He said, I promised my eyes. I made a deal with my eyes that I wasn't going to look on something. Okay, well, what he ain't going to look at, Job? Why should I then look upon a maid? That's what he's talking about. He said, if my step hath turned out of the way and my heart walked after my eyes. So you see, your eyes are tied to your heart. The Bible says, be careful. It said, be diligent. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And one part of keeping your heart is watching what goes in your eyes, because it filters down into your heart. You ever looked at something that made your heart go that way? I mean, just like we was talking about that big dog pulling you around, being your heart, and he's more powerful than you, and he's always jerking on you this way and jerking on you that way, and you walking him along there, and he's being all right, and then all of a sudden he spots a cat over there in the yard and wants it, and he runs after it because he's seen it. You ever seen anything or something come into your eyeballs that caused your heart to go after it whenever that was wicked? Now, we're talking about wicked things. We're talking about things that will take you away from the Lord. Areas of personal separation. Things that you ought to separate to stay safe and to be able to walk with the Lord in the kingdom, in spiritual walking. Job said in these verses we learn that Job made a covenant. That's a deal. That's a handshake. That's a you do this and I'll do this, and I agree to this and you agree to this. I made a covenant with his eyes never to look upon evil. Now, this area of personal separation will make a difference in your life in several areas. Let's talk about them. The first area is, well, not so much during this COVID thing, but attending movies. Why, almost all of Hollywood-style movies, even those that are G-rated, they spew out violence, adultery, drunkenness, witchcraft, and ungodly living. Christians ought not be supporting this industry, nor allow it to go into your minds. And how does it get in your mind? How does it get into your minds? Gets in your mind by attending movies and letting it go into your eyeballs. You're looking at it. You're going there on purpose. You're setting that thing before your eyes. You say, well, I like going to movies. Man, I did too. But you can't even go watch a Disney movie anymore. Disney has gotten so stinking nasty and started taking and agreeing with some of the most ungodly things on this planet. And Disney is almost another Sodom. And they ain't got nothing in their in their the old Mickey Mouse movies and all the old things that we thought was just so innocent and everything else and didn't hurt you to watch and stuff like that, and you're watching Mickey Mouse and he always trying to do right, and Donald Duck, and all they done was just bicker and fight with one another and chase each other around, and probably the worst one of the thing was Wile E. Coyote, always up to something, but he always got smashed and fell off the cliff. You see, them kind of things like that don't make you want to go pick a gun up and go blow your daddy's brains out of his head while he's laying in the bed. Attending movies. If you go watch movies, go watch them. Do what you want to do. But that don't change the truth. The truth of the matter is, if you let that stuff get in your mind through your eyeballs, you're the one that's going to suffer for it. God said, when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Attending movies. Now, if we're just going to be grown-ups here and tell the truth, and that's what we said we was going to do when we started, tell the truth about studying God's Word, is there things in this world that we should separate from when it comes to our eyeballs? You better believe it is. And it ain't easy, because the devil's got that thing all over the world. And it's such a temptation, it tries to suck you in every time. Man, you know, just to tell you, I don't have a television in my house. And it ain't because I fight it every time I see one. I have to fight it every time I see one. But I know me. And I know that if I have one in here, I'll discipline myself and say, okay, I ain't going to watch it, but just an hour. And then you have to get up and push buttons, and you have to. And then I got to where I didn't watch the cable part of it. I just made documentaries and started watching stuff that I wanted to watch. But then the documentaries started slipping in. That wasn't very good. And you have to purge out all the stuff that's bad if you know, but blah, 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 blah. And the easiest thing is just put it out. But the flesh don't like that. And one of my problems about sitting in front of the television is that thing will make me sit there for 8 hours in a row. And I won't get nothing done for the Lord. It'll steal my time with my studies. It'll steal my time with my prayer. It'll steal my time with going out and preaching on the street. It'll steal my time from witnessing. It'll steal my time. It just steals all your time. And plus, all that stuff going in your minds, all that, even if you're watching something good, the commercials ain't good. I mean, you're going to get some ugly stuff in your eyeballs if you're going to watch that thing. Or you're going to go through so much trouble to try to clean it up that it ain't even worth it. You know? So, attending movies and watching that television. Now, if you feel at liberty to your own, if you feel at liberty to own a television set, the most important control would probably be the off switch. Now, the garbage that can be brought into your home and go into your eyeballs, the laziness it promotes, I told you about what it does to me, and the influence it exerts over young minds requires real wisdom and firm control. And I don't know anybody I've met yet that can control it, especially today and the stuff that they put on there today. That network, they don't call it network programming for nothing. What they're doing on that television, they're doing on purpose for whoever's watching it. Excuse me. All right, what about another area of personal separation? Talking about the things that go into your eyeballs. Books and magazines. All right, well, Brother TV, I got rid of my TV. And now I'm reading. And the Bible tells us. It says for us to read. It says for us to study. Okay? Books and magazines. But books and magazines, I mean, if you ain't careful, you can get some National Geographic You can get some national pornographic anywhere. Yeah, I mean, books, there's some ungodly, nasty books. Used to, you know, I went to a gas station one time and was filling up with gas, went in to pay, and when I got up to the register, I was looking at the guy, and then all of his surroundings behind him was a great big old Playboy book rack, standing up tall. And the only thing you could see behind him in the background was that. And I said, man, why you got that thing up there so high like that? And I said, why don't you put that thing out of sight for these kids and everything? You know what he did? He laughed at me. That's what they think about it. They don't care. You're the one that's got to care. You got to take care of your own eyeballs, because if you don't make the decisions in your life, somebody else is going to make them for you. About your life. Now, books and magazines, filthy and pornographic publications, should never be in the possession of a Christian. Never. Don't pay any attention to the women's magazines with their horoscopes and fashions and romance and all that garbage. That ain't nothing but bait for you to go commit adultery or something. Romance. You want a romance? Get closer to your husband. It corrupts your ability to tell right and wrong. It does. The more you look at that stuff, and the more you read that nastiness and all that filthiness and the wrong books and the wrong... You can tell if a book is right or wrong and whether it ought to be going into your mind. You know right away, and God the Holy Ghost is faithful. If you'll listen to Him, He'll tell you right away, nah, this ain't going to work. This ain't no good for you. And you know the Lord, as kind as He is, the Lord doesn't hold anything good back from us. If there's something good, the Lord don't mind us having it. He sure don't. Matter of fact, He'll give it to us. No good thing will the Lord withhold from them that love Him. Attending movies and watching television and books and magazines and things like that, you see. I mean, it's good to be reminded of it, ain't it? Because if we ain't careful, man, your whole house will end up wicked. And you won't even realize it until somebody says something about it. And then you have to clean it up again. And it's harder to clean it up after it already gets dirty, you know that, than it is just to keep it clean to begin with. And especially with your kids and everybody else, and especially sin gets more in-depth wicked. I mean, there are lines that you cross in sin. You said sin is sin. Yeah, sin is sin when it comes to God. But the degree of sin is different. I mean, lying to your mama about whether you stole money out of her purse is a little bit lesser degree of sin. You know what I'm trying to say? Is a little bit lesser degree on what it affects than it does lying about something big and wicked, about whether you slept with your neighbor's husband or your neighbor's wife. I mean, now that goes a long way for a long time, don't it? And sin in this generation, sin in our generation right now has crossed a line in the past, my generation and the generation before me. Right, between my daddy and my generation, sin has dropped a degree. I mean, it's crossed a line. It's more wicked and dark in society. What else? That's not all. The places I allow myself to go, talking about separation, some areas of personal separation, the places I allow myself to go. Now, we're taught that the Lord Jesus Christ may come at any moment, and that we should never be ashamed to meet him. That's in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." You know, there are many places where the Christian ought not go. A dance hall, a liquor outlets, being caught in a liquor store, or not being caught, but just the Lord come while you standing there in line wanting to pay for your vodka. I ain't going to get into all this drinking stuff right now, and I think it's part of this study. I'm not sure, but we should talk about that too, huh? I don't think all y'all put together ain't drank as much as I have. The Lord saved me out of that mess. It was killing me. I brought beer home by the case. I brought beer home on my shoulder, not with two fingers. And I'm glad the Lord took that away from me, because it was destroying my life. And I ain't never seen nobody that could. I ain't never seen nobody that fooled. I mean, everybody says it's social drinking, social this, social that, blah, 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 blah. But I ain't never seen anybody yet that liquor somewhere, somehow, some way destroyed part of their life. Somehow or another. There's many places where Christians ought not to go. The dance hall. I used to, when I was a teenager, me and I used to go dancing all the time. But I knew why I was going dancing. And so do you. You said, well, they danced in the Bible. Yeah, they sure did. But that's a study on itself. And if you study it with truth and honesty and sincerity, you'll find out there's a difference. And the Bible tells the difference. It shows it. The liquor outlets, the gambling establishments, the scriptural reasons why all these things talking about the gambling and all the liquor and stuff like that, I think we talk about that in study number 24. I think that's X. Yeah, the letter X. X-rated for Christians. We talk about that. Now, I'm talking about what the Bible says, okay? So far, we've talked about the eyeballs, and the eyeballs has to do with watching television, and not just television, but I mean, you ain't got to watch a television to watch somebody kill somebody in society now. You ain't got to watch a television to these games that these kids have now. I mean, I remember whenever you could go to a game room and you play pinball, and it was just ding, 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 ding. You had some clowns on there and stuff like that. Now they got a guy blowing some brains out and showing blood and everything else all over the place. Watching television and playing these games and stuff like that, that's all it's about, is how you can go about killing somebody and be the best murderer there is, or assassin that you can be. And if they don't think that's got to do with these 16, 15-year-old boys and girls that go around and blow people away with real guns, they're out of their stinking minds. Books and magazines. The places that I allow myself to go. Let me ask you something. Is there any place that you say, well, what would Jesus do? Right. Mm-hmm. You have to carry around a bracelet to remind you. God the Holy Ghost reminds you. You don't have to, what would Jesus do? And I'm not, if you got one, I'm not talking ugly about you. I'm just saying God the Holy Ghost is in you. And he's your comforter. And he is your teacher. God himself, the third person of the Godhead. The places I allow myself to go. I know God the Holy Ghost tells me, and I ain't no more special to the Lord than you are. You get ready to... I remember a couple years ago, the devil had me so stinking upset, he tempted me with going out and getting a drink. And that's how it starts with me. And I messed around and found myself in the truck, and all the time the Lord was telling me, You know this ain't right. You know it ain't right. And I said, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I started the truck. Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I don't want to do this. I know where it's going to go. And I wasn't talking about just getting one little drink. And that's all it was going to be, was one little drink. But I know what it does. No such thing as one little drink. It's turning on the light in the whole room, not just right there where you're standing. And I started the truck, and then I put it in gear. And I mean, the devil was right there telling me, go get you a drink. You ain't got to put up with all this. You ain't got to put up with all this. And I mean, the devil was really, really, I was going through some spiritual troubles and having to fight some things and in my walk with the Lord. And the Lord was teaching me some things. And the devil knew what the Lord was doing. And he does. When the devil knows that the Lord's teaching you something, he'll come in there and try to mess it up. And you have to go through classes with the Lord. The Lord teaches you things and you grow. But it ain't easy. I found myself riding, and I was going, and I was just saying, you stupid idiot, you dumb stupid idiot. Lord, please help me, hide these things, turn me around, something, Lord, I can't stand. It was like the devil was just driving a truck. And I got about a quarter away into town, and when I got into town, I knew that there was a drive-through, that you could drive through and get some liquor. And I was looking for it, and then I wasn't looking for it at the same time. And I was talking to the Lord at the same time, and I was telling the devil, leave me alone, I don't want to do this, and all this, that, and the other. Well, I went down, and I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and then I turned right, and I turned right again, and turned right again, and I ended up right across from my house again. And I just went on in there and went in the house and thanked the Lord that he put his hand up and hit them, because I passed a couple of them and they were drive-thrus and I knew I'd seen them before, but I didn't find them because the Lord hid them from me, and praise his holy name for doing it. And I hadn't been bothered with that. I mean, it comes across my mind and the devil reminds me of it. And he, just about the time I'm vulnerable or I need a drink, if you want to say that, my flesh starts wanting to need a drink or something like that. The Lord will pull me out of it, because I'll trust in him and resist the devil, and the Lord will give me the strength to pull out of it. He does. He does. He does do it. It ain't easy and it ain't no fun, but he does, if you'll trust him and just bear down, grit your teeth, and go through it. The Lord will help you every time. I hate it. I hate it. I can't wait for the Lord to smash his face and get rid of him for good and for us to be with the Lord. I can't wait for the Lord to come. It's going to be so good with Jesus being king and ruling over the whole earth. It's going to be beautiful. It ain't going to be like this trash they call bringing in the kingdom here. I don't know what you find bringing in the kingdom. They're talking about bringing in the kingdom and launching people to Mars. Trying to find out a way to get out of here, bringing in the kingdom, right? The places I allow myself to go, brothers and sisters, there's certain places that Christians ought not be named. If you're going to walk and you're going to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Somebody sees you walking around in a place that you're not supposed to be, automatically the world's going to talk about your testimony, and it blows your testimony. It said, let not your good be evil spoken of. And if there's any reason that you ought not go in some places, the wisdom of God would teach you that I shouldn't go into places that's going to blow my testimony and shame my Lord. Because we don't want to shame him, do we? Absolutely not. The things that I wear, areas of personal separation, the things that I wear, the things you cover up that body with or don't cover it up. Now, I don't know what you think about your body, but I know that there are other people that spend a lot of time trying to make other people think about their body. And it's through this process right here of putting clothes on and putting clothes off. It's called fashion. And the Bible and the world calls it fashion. And you know what the Bible says about fashion? It says, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. For the fashion of this world passeth away. And it changes all the time. And the way that this world wants to dress is not the way that you ought to be dressing. You're supposed to be dressing in a way that shows, if you're a woman, it shows modesty, and if you're a man, it shows humility. You're supposed to be dressing not to attract people to that vile body. It's ungodly, and we shouldn't be doing it. You women ought to be covering yourself up, and you men ought to do the same. Nobody wants to see your stinking hairy chest. Nobody wants to see your old stinking legs either. Cover them up. The Lord calls these bodies vile. They're dying. They're going back to the dirt. They're cursed. And the only thing, the only reason anybody would think any different, you find me a place in that Bible where the Bible talks about, it talks about fair women and beautiful women and that they were fair to look upon and stuff like that. But it's not in an ungodly way. It's just, they're pretty. They're handsome. Okay, but there's no place in the scripture where it talks about that body being worth anything or being something. Not like the world thinks about it. The world, that's all they think about is how to. Isn't that funny how they do that? The Lord calls it vile. It's like a body that's been in where they put dead people in a room. Where when they do the examination on it, and then they put it in a drawer. And you take that body and you put it on your back and you're walking around with it, and people are looking at it going, ooh, it's a corpse. You are inside of there and you're separated from that body and you're still carrying it around and it's dying on you. That's what the old Romans used to do. When a man would kill another man, one way of punishing him, the Romans would take that dead body and tie it to him, put it on his back and make him carry it around. And then as it decomposed and everything else, it would start rotting his body, and he would die a slow death. That's the way your body is to the Lord. It's vile. He's watching it die on you. It's going back to the grave. Now, he tells us to, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But he didn't say nothing about making it look sexy or making somebody lust after it. Shame on us. That's all this world does. Look at your television when you're watching it and see how many commercials in 1 minute has to do with that body. That's all the world thinks about. Look at the billboards when you're riding down the road. The things that I wear. When you go to buy your clothes, you're supposed to go buy your clothes to cover your body and to be presentable as a Christian woman or a Christian man. Now, you're talking about going, coming to church in shorts. The church is doing that all over the place now. Coming to church in shorts. I remember the only time people wore shorts was when they went to the beach or something like that. And society was hard getting into that. Now you wear them to church. And if that's, the things that I wear. We're talking about separation. The world, a Christian definitely should not be wearing things that makes him look like the world looks. There was a couple boys. You say, well, clothes don't talk. Clothes don't matter. They don't do anything. Oh, yes, they do. Clothes talk. They tell stories. When you're riding through the streets downtown Brooklyn, or you're riding through the streets where all the whores hang out, can you find a whore by the way she's dressed? What's the first thing that somebody looks at to see whether or not they're for hire? their clothes. Even in the Bible, the Lord talks about harlots and the way that they dressed and the way that they wore their clothes was a symbol that men could find that they were for hire. Yeah, their clothes. There was a couple boys right next to a field, and there's a big building there that was closed down, and they was picking up rocks, and they was seeing who could bust out the biggest window, and they were throwing these big old rocks and throwing them, and a couple of them had hit the windows and bust the windows out of that building, and that's kind of fun. I mean, but, you know, not unless you're the owner. But they was busting them out, and the old man was walking down the street behind them, and he said, "Hey, you boys." And they turned around and looked at him, and he said, "You stop throwing that. You know that's wrong. Don't be throwing them rocks up there in that building, busting them winners out of there. You don't have to pay for them. You quit doing that. You know that's wrong." And they said, "Oh, go on, you old codger. Get out of here. Don't tell us what to do." And he figured, well, you know, I can't fight no more, so I'm going to go on and mind my business. He said, "Well, y'all know better than that." And he went on. And the boys turned around and started throwing them rocks again, busting them out, and talking about, "Yeah, I got that one. Yeah, I got that one." Then all of a sudden they heard behind them and said, "Hey, you boys." And they turned around, and they seen a policeman standing there. He had a policeman uniform on. First thing that happened was they dropped them rocks. He said, "You better stop and get out of here and quit throwing them rocks at that building before I take you to jail." And they took off running. Why? Because them clothes was talking. Yeah. The area of fashion is difficult. The area of fashion is difficult for a Christian because society changes so much. But one thing you can keep in mind is what the Bible says about your body. If you got it set in your mind about your body and what it really is, then you'll be less likely to go trying to... It's like putting a gold ring on a dead man in a casket or a Rolex watch on a corpse. The area of fashion is different, but if you look at it the way God looks at it, you'll be able to dress right. But if you're looking at it the way the world looks at it and you're trying to flash some of that thigh around women, then you're going to have a problem with fashion. But the Lord said the fashion of this world passes away. That's because fashions go and they go through cycles and extremes. But see, we're not part of the world. You don't judge how you dress by the fashion of society. You dress in accordance of how the Lord would want people to see you and that you're a child of God. That's how you dress. And they got all so many different fashions in the world, from weird to conservative, from short shorts and ankle length stuff, and from immodest to provocative, and I mean, you name it, it's there. I mean, They got a thing on the computer now where people are putting some kind of new kind of thing that they talking about the people that actually go into Walmart, that Walmart lets go in there dressed like they're dressed. And they got some kind of thing that shows pictures of ridiculous people going into Walmart in a way that you wouldn't imagine they would. You know, the Bible does, however, it gives us instruction in this area about dressing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31, the fashion of this world passeth away. That's the first thing you ought to keep on your mind, the fashion of the world. The Lord's going to get rid of that. There ain't going to be none of that garbage and any of that kind of thinking in His kingdom. None of it. Ain't going to be no women walking around showing off stuff and things like that and getting away with it. The Bible says the Lord's going to rule with a rod of iron. The standard for a Christian woman is what? What is it? Do you know? Why don't you know? 1 Timothy 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, in like manner also, he just got through talking about the men, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. There's your clothes. No problem. The Lord just told you how to dress. Modest apparel. So when you go shopping, you ought to be looking for modest apparel if you can find it. But nevertheless, that's no excuse. And the Bible says, modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broidered hair and gold and pearls and costly array. Boy, he named the world out, didn't he? He knew how the world and the fashion of this world dresses. Broidered hair and gold and pearls and costly array. Showing off that dead body. You see, you got to get in the right mind and the right way of thinking about dressing. We're supposed to be separated. Some areas of personal separation. Areas of personal separation is in the things that I wear. It's in the places that I allow myself to go. It's in what the things that I allow my eyes to see. Very important. Because we're talking about being separated. You can't be separated without these things being affected in your life. The Bible also says, and not only in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, but in Isaiah and chapter 47, verse 2 and 3, listen to this. It says, take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. That's the Lord talking about Israel and talking about how she's committing adultery against him and talking about comparing her to a whorish woman. And he describes her, uncover the locks. Let your hair down. Make bare the leg. Make bare the leg. What part of the body is the leg? From knee down. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. What part's the thigh? From knee up. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness, notice what the Lord called. He didn't say anything about taking your dress off or taking your blouse off. He said uncover the leg or uncover the thigh. And then he called it nakedness. And then he also called it shameful. Listen to it. Isaiah 47, verse 2 and 3. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover the locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. According to the Bible, bare thighs, as in like mini skirts and shorts and things like that, bare thighs, is equated with nakedness. And with shameful. It's shameful. According to Isaiah, that's what the Lord said. That's the Lord's mind of a woman that uncovers the leg and uncovers the thigh. And let me ask you something. Why would you want to do that anyway? Why do you have to walk around with your thighs showing? Why? Why do you want your legs to show when you're walking around? I mean, there's a reason. Remember we talked about it starts in your heart. It's in the heart. It's the eyes, and everything that goes into the mind goes into the heart. Everything that goes into the mind goes into the heart, and it affects how you dress. Now, I'm just telling you stuff what the Bible says. And I agree with it. You know, I know when I look at a woman, whether I lust after her immediately, whether my heart, I know when I look at a woman whether my flesh is aroused or whether or not my spirit is encouraged. And there is a difference with a man. A man can look at a woman and immediately either the flesh or the spirit jumps up. One or the other. You believe it or not believe it, it's true. Now, another thing having to do with the things that I wear is the fashion of this world. Another thing is talking about this short hair business. This short hair business. Now, what does the Bible say? What's the Bible say? You wear your hair like you want to. Shave it all bald head if you want to. Whatever. Put a mohawk up there. They all do it. Color it pink and green and red. You know all this pink and green and red and purple and beige hair and all this crazy looking stuff walking around today. You know what I used to think? We used to think when we was boys? We used to see somebody with colored hair. The only place we could go to see somebody with colored hair was the circus. Because there were clowns there. And they had colored hair. And we went there to laugh at them because it was funny because they had colored hair. The clowns have come out of the tent, hadn't they? Short hair on women is a what, according to the Bible. Now, what does the Bible say? Do you want to know what the Scripture says? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 6. Let's read it. It says, for if the woman be not covered, and this is talking about the issue of hair. It's not talking about hats and talking about being covered. It's talking about hair, and you'll see that as you read through Corinthians because it gets after the man, and then it talks about why God give women long hair. So because it's beautiful on them, and it shows God in them. It shows God the Holy Ghost in them. It shows your spirituality. It's got to do with your light shining for the Lord. Now listen to it. It says, for if the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. In other words, if you're not going to have your hair like it ought to be, shave it all off. That's what he says here. For if a woman be not shorn, let her also, or if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn, shave off all your hair, or shaven, let her be covered. What's the Bible telling us there? He's saying, if you're not going to have your hair like it ought to be, then shave it all off. But you know that if it's a shame for a woman to be shorn and shaven, let her be covered. So according to the Bible in 1 Corinthians 11, 6 there, it says short hair on women's a shame. Now, this passage goes, and listen, you say what you want to. I know women that I love that wear short hair. But you don't wear short hair because God told you it was okay. You wear it either because that's the way, because of your stubbornness, because of rebellion, or either whatever. But that's what God says, that it's a shame. Now, if it's a shame, then it's got to do in your heart as far as some sort of rebellion against God, because God said he gave you your hair to be beautiful and to be a testimony. And if you told the truth, women with long hair is a lot, just beautiful as they can be. No matter how ugly they are. Let's see what else the Bible says about it. The passage goes on to explain that a woman's long hair is a token of her subjection to her husband and to God. That she's walking right before the Lord. Now, listen to this. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6, we just read that. For if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Then it says in 1 Corinthians 11:15, now when you get this scripture this afternoon, you get in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and read the whole thing down through there, and you'll see the context of what the Lord's talking about. He's not down in women or saying that, what Brother Paul's saying there. He's not saying, he's talking about the woman's hair and he's talking about the men's hair, but he's telling you what the difference is in the world and the way the world thinks about hair wearing and the way that Christian women and godly women wear. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 11:15, it says, "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. If a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her." Now let me ask you something before I finish that verse, women. Why in the world would you not want that glory if God told you how to get glory and you could be glorified? Why in the world would you not do what it says in order for you to be glorified? If it's a glory to you, why wouldn't you want it? All right, it says, "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering." 1 Corinthians 11:14 says, "Doth not nature itself," you know, nature teaches us, "doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?" That's what the Bible says. Read it. So if God says that's what it is, that's what it is, right? That's how we started this. We said we're going to find out what the truth is and be honest and see what the Bible says. Now, if you told the truth in your heart without nobody else included, you know what's right and wrong. And you know in your heart why you're doing what you're doing and why you wear your hair like you do, and everybody does. We should get right before the Lord and do things that are right before the Lord. We should do that. Long hair on men is a shame. The Bible says so. You see 60 and 70 year old grandpas walking around with a stinking ponytail hanging down to their hind end, and the Bible says it's a shame. A man, you know what a man ought to look like? A man ought to look like a man. You say, well, how's a man look? Looks like what God says a man ought to look like. Read your Bible. God tells you in there what a man ought to look like. You say, well, Jesus had long hair. He sure did. He did. But he was an Orthodox Jew under the law, and the law said that a Jew that was a Nazarene under a Nazarene, Jesus was a Nazarene, and I'm trying to get this right, but because of Jesus living under the law and being under the way Jews described it, he was not to cut his hair under the law because they were supposed to be different than the world, and that's under the law. I'll get into more of that on another study. But yes, Jesus did have long hair. But it wasn't like some of these effeminate hippies that they draw pictures about. It was a Jewish. It was squared off. They didn't round the corners of it. They had certain ways that they wore it. And everybody wore it that way. And so did the Lord. He wasn't walking around like a stinking Woodstock hippie. Nothing of that kind. He was Jesus, the Son of God. And he had long hair because of the way the Jewish law was in accordance to how the Gentiles were, the dogs were. They were to be different, and they were to be. He was under the priesthood. I can't think of the name of it right now. A Nazarene covenant or something like that. I'll find it. I got it in the study, and we'll talk about it. I think it's in X, like what we talked about, or something. It might have been, might be under J for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that's what it is, under that study. And it talks about all that, and we go into the scriptures about it, and it tells. Yes, he did have long hair, but it wasn't down to his middle of his back. It was the way the Jews wore it. And it wasn't like a Woodstock hippie kind of nasty looking blabbity blab. It was cut in a certain way to where when somebody looked at him, they say, "That's a Jew." And they squared off their beards and didn't round the corners. It's in the Old Testament and the law. That's true. But the Lord says in the New Testament, and Paul says in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? So there we go. All right, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to continue on with this. Now, we've talked about some pretty good stuff. Good stuff. If there's some things and corrections that you need to make, make them. If you need to tell God you're sorry for your rebellion, tell him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If there's something that's hindering you in your walk with the Lord, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Stop looking at them nasty books if you're looking at them. Stop watching that television, the part of that television. If you're going to keep it or whatever you're going to do, that's your business. But you ought not be letting that stuff get in your eyeballs that ruins your walk with the Lord. You'd be sitting there listening to the preacher and some nasty image off the television come up in your mind. The places I allow myself to go, don't frequent that place no more. Quit it. Don't go there no more. Just quit it. The things I wear. Ask God to dress you. Ask the Lord to dress you. And get in there and read that Bible and find out with the Lord and find out and be honest about it. And be sincere about it. And say, "Lord, whatever your word says, I want to comply with it. I want to be pleasing. I want to do those things that are pleasing in your sight." And we do, don't we? So let me give you the scriptures today, and we're going to continue. We haven't stopped about this. We want to continue. That was the last thing that we talked about was the things that I wear as far as some areas of personal separation. The things that I wear, the places that I go, and the things that I allow my eyes to see, and the way that you wear your hair. Okay, and we'll get on into some more things to include the things that I say. The things that comes out of my mouth. You know, the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. The people that I associate with. And close partnerships and things like that. And things in business. How should I be in business? Should I be in business with certain kinds of people as far as being separate? And things like that. The Bible talks about that. Okay, and we'll get into more of that in our next recording. Okay, thank you for being patient. And I know this has been a little bit longer than, I don't know if it's longer than it's supposed to be or not, but I'm glad to have read what the Bible says, ain't you? Good. Here's the scriptures. First one is Psalm chapter 101, verse 3. Job chapter 31, verse 1 and 7. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 31. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 2 and 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just put down that you read the whole chapter 11, but the verses that we had was three of them. 11:6, 11:15, and 11:14. But if you read that whole chapter 11 right there, it'll just, the whole context right there will show you what Brother Paul's talking about in there. Areas of personal separation and being different and not like the world. The fashion of this world passeth away. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter Or excuse me, no, that's not Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is not one of them. That's the first one we're going to use on the next one. Okay? So that's all for today. And thank you so much for studying God's Word. God bless you for that. And you putting treasure up in heaven, sitting there listening to God's Word and hearing what the Lord has said to you. Now, don't shun the Lord and don't put the Lord off about what He has said to you. Talk to Him about it. If He's already instructed you to make some changes, make them. Make them. And I'll talk to you on the next recording, okay? God bless you and thank you so much. Love you and love you with Christ's love. Talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.